Tom Cruise, short ass, is still out there doing stuff. People are working on their knees to be in the same frame as this guy, in a hole.
Yeah.
And he's on a box.
Yeah, he's on a box. There's a ditch. That's a joke.
And then there's someone with tiny hands holding back his crow's feet. So you can't see them. That's what they use the CG for, to wipe that out.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So spring has resprung.
Spring is sprung again, like it does.
Yeah.
Like it's want to do.
As it is want to do. And I found some really interesting things there. I always, when I think of spring, I think of streaking. Because when I was a little girl, there's a college near us called Washington College. Mm-hmm. And I just remember hearing about it from adults. Like, it's spring. Like, those crazy students are going to streak.
Yep.
And so as kids, we were always, like, hoping that we weren't really sure what streaking was. But we knew there was nudity.
Involved in the streaking. Yeah,
and we weren't supposed to see it.
Not quite sure.
So we would always try
to. But we're going to see a butt.
Yeah, we might see a butt on the hoof. So we were just always conspiring, like, how can we be around this college when the streaking happens?
Yeah.
And then I overheard at, like, a family get-together, one of our relatives who was the music teacher at Washington College said that he came in early one day to class, and he heard music, you know, the orchestra, like, playing. He was like, oh, my God, I've actually taught them something. He said he went in, they were butt naked.
Oh!
So they had gone from streaking to just
Hanging out
new, but they were playing the music. He said he stood at the door for a while, and he was like, really? Imagine as a teacher, you're like, oh, finally. They're finally taking to it. They like that. And then you look inside, everyone's like butt naked.
God, and playing their instruments.
Oh. Yes. The cellist, the person with the tuba, all that.
Yes.
So I decided to look up the history.
What did they call it? The skin flute?
The skin piccolo, for those of you who may not be as well-endowed.
Okay.
So I decided to look up the history of streaking.
Okay.
It actually goes back quite a ways. It says the definition of streaking is the act of running naked through a public place as a prank, a dare, or an act of protest. I love the idea of getting butt naked and running as a protest.
As a protest. Like, I don't like this healthcare we have.
Yeah, streak.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I think that would be a good way to protest
healthcare.
If hundreds of people would just streak into the Capitol.
Right.
Yes.
Would you want to
streak back out?
Do you want to streak with hundreds of people, though?
I mean, would you rather streak alone? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying, but I don't know. I think it's just too much flesh altogether.
Too much flopping around. It says streaking is often associated with sporting events, which I did not know.
Yes, it's a thing. It's like, if people are at a sporting event, an arena, someone's got to take off their clothes and run across the field.
I think that makes sense on, like, a football field.
Yeah.
And it says here, it involves running quickly, which reflects the original meaning of the word before it became associated with nudity. So there was a point in history where streaking just meant booking it.
Yeah.
So streakers are often pursued by sporting officials.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, they are. Because they don't want to run.
No.
It's like,
but they have to.
Stadium security does not want to run.
Does not want to run, but you have to.
Yeah.
A referee doesn't want to run after a naked dude on the field, but he has to.
So then what are they going to do when they get him?
That's the thing. That's why they don't want to run. They're like, just go. Just chase them off. It says they're pursued by sporting officials or the police. Again, another group of people who I don't think want to chase a naked person.
And the thing is, if you've ever seen the video footage of somebody streaking in a stadium, they'll run and then they'll stop to check to see if someone's chasing them.
And maybe wag a bit.
And be like, hey, and then keep going.
But the crowd loves it. Can you imagine, like, you're running out into the field? No one boos a streaker. Everyone's like, yeah!
Oh, could you imagine if a streaker was booed?
I know. That would be sad. I mean, he's already on the run, or she. So, the first streaker, they say, was in the 13th century. It was this Lady Godiva.
Yes.
Who wrote, an English noblewoman who, according to legend, rode nude, covered only in her long hair, to the streets of Coventry to gain a remission of the oppressive taxation that her husband imposed on tenants. Now, that's a way to fight, like, rent laws, I guess, to ride nude. The name Peeping Tom comes from, I guess there was one dude in the crowd who looked. I'm sure there were more.
Wait a minute. Nobody was supposed to look?
Yeah, because that's the legend, is that she came out nude, but her hair
covered
everything. And then you still couldn't look. So everyone gave her their respect and looked away, except for Tom, who was like, I'm looking, I've seen it all. And it was fantastic. It was monumental.
It was spectacular.
So in 1799, July 5th at 7 p.m., very specific, a man was arrested at Mansion House in London. He confirmed that he accepted a wager of 10 guineas, which is the equivalent of 930 pounds today.
Okay.
Which is quite around, to run naked from Cornhill to Cheapside. He tried to do so, and he was apprehended.
Oh.
So that's a streak. And it says the first recorded incident of streaking by a college student was in 1804 at Washington and Lee University. Senior, he was in college as a senior, George William Crump, was arrested for running naked through Lexington, Virginia, where the university is located. Robert E. Lee then later said, this is all right. Everyone should do this as a rite of passage.
Robert E. Lee said so?
Yes, and enshrined it.
You're not a man unless you streak.
Unless you streak. Oh. Crump.
Robert E. Lee.
Yes. The original streaker, Crump, was suspended, but then he later became a U.S. congressman.
Of course. Yes. The prerequisite at the time.
So then streaking really took off in the 60s. Apparently it became a problem, along with rock culture, drinking, and destruction. Because, you know, no one ever destroyed anything before rock and roll.
No.
It never happened. At the time, streaking was a tradition in Minnesota on campuses during January and February. That's a reason to run if you're naked.
Yeah.
In 1973, the press declared a streaking epidemic, which hit...
Go to the doctor for that. Yes. Get a shot.
An outbreak of streaking at Austin State University in Texas. Streakers began being seen in residence halls, football games, and various other campus events. And then it really reached a fever pitch in the spring of 1974 when the university president was like, enough, and declared like a specific day for streaking. And that's exactly what they did at Washington College in my town. They said, this is the day for streaking. If you're going to streak, you do
it. You get it all out of your system today.
Get it all out of your system on the day. And that probably killed it, because when you're a student, you don't want the administration to sanction what you're doing. You want it to be,
you
want to
do when you want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you want them to say no. And then you do it anyway.
Apparently, the press showed up, of course, because it's like a bunch of fit young people naked running.
Yeah.
Foreign press came as well. And, they, you know, people were just calling it a plague, a fad, you know, I guess it was ruining people's day. I have no idea.
You know.
But anyway, so the definition of the word meant just to go quickly. And then during the 60s and 70s, they added the nudity part. And University of Maryland in 1973 had a mass nude run of 533 people. They struck. And there was a reporter there.
They struck. 533.
They streaked.
Yeah.
There was a reporter who yelled, they're streaking past me now. And ever since then, the AP adopted streaking as the term to use for these people. Streaking has nothing to do with sexuality, necessarily. It's not about nudism. It's not about naturism. It's just, you know, a fun thing that
it's
people
funny.
Do.
It's a very childish.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Like canned hams.
Yeah.
You know, it's like dropping trowel. I just canned always thought hams. It was so funny. I didn't understand the culture of these students, because where I'm from, no one would streak.
You talked about canned hams before. What exactly is a canned ham?
A pressed hams. So pressed hams is when you drop your pants and then press buttocks up against the glass.
Okay.
That's pressed. Canned, I think it might be the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. It might be in a car, and pressed might be in a bus. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that. But thank you for bringing that to my attention.
There was a thing that I went to Catholic school, and some of the girls, like, they would take their skirt and tighten it around their butt.
And like, then, roll it up?
No, like...
We used to roll ours up.
Gather the fabric, but it's covering your hiney.
Okay.
And then you just make it really tight against it, and you kind of wiggle around and go, yeah, look at my ass, but nothing is showing.
Was that something you guys would just, like, wiggle around?
Not all of us.
Okay.
I remember one or two girls doing this, and we're like, what?
But do you do it, like, were they doing it to other girls? Like, hey, look at this. Kind of like a funny thing?
Yeah.
We used to, in college, we either roll our skirts all the way up so they were super short, or some of the girls who later on became goth or alternative would get the skirts as long as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like 5 yards of plaid, and they would like sweep the ground.
Nice.
And it was hard for the school because they could say to the girls, like, your skirt's too short, But in Catholicism, when you have nuns wearing habits, how could you say to a girl, your outfit is too modest? Right?
Yeah, you need to show some ankles.
Yes, we need to see at least a little bit of toe peeking up underneath.
Yes, they can. Oh, so I like it.
Yeah, it was an interesting way to kind of subvert the system. So we would wear stuff really big, you know, very unflattering. But there's nothing they could do as long as it wasn't too tight.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's my streaking. I now understand the culture of streaking. Mm-hmm. I've always been fascinated by it because I've never done it because I don't have a problem with getting naked. But I know if I was naked and running, I would wipe out.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't be streaking anymore. It'd just be like naked black woman with a sprained ankle on the ground.
Yeah. And the idea that you're running will make somebody want to chase you.
Yes.
And I don't want to be chased.
Even if it's like a dog, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Children, anything. I don't want anyone chasing me while I'm naked.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway, streaking. Spring.
Okay, so along with our spring thing, theme.
Of streaking. Spring theme. That's hard to say.
Spring theme. Okay, I want to talk about 7 ways to spring clean your toxic mating habits.
Mating.
Okay.
That sounds terrible.
I know, it sounds terrible. It really does.
I imagine someone running around like an animal, you know? Like just
I guess it's the idea that
snorting and pawing at things.
Yeah, it's like very animalistic. Yeah. And yeah.
But we're going to clean it up.
Yeah, there's no nuances. It was just the reminder. I'm like, yeah, we're all animals because it's spring.
Yeah. Spring fever.
Right. So according to every single woman's magazine on newsstands today, spring cleaning time, and it's time to declutter, but now it's time to tidy up the wintry wreckage of worn out mating habits.
Okay. You gotta clean up that dusty old claptrap. Sage it out.
They have cute little, titles here.
Or so they
say. Number one, check out those expiration labels. So meaning, if you've been talking about moving in together for 6 months and it's a no-go with going on 11 months, you still haven't heard the L word. Has anyone actually defined the relationship?
Do you even like each other?
7 years. You've been ready for a ring for a while now and you're still not going for it. Check the expiration date stalls.
Who waits that long?
Because it's time to toss him.
But who waits 7 years? Have these people not seen a romantic comedy?
I guess not.
Isn't that how they start?
Well, he's just, you know, he just needs time.
We can't get the restaurant that we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's number two is audit that closet. The key to closet organization, assessing what you have and throwing out the shit you don't use.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I have to say about that. If it doesn't fit, and I know this is hard for ladies and for gentlemen, if it doesn't fit,
get it
out of there.
Yeah, it has to
it's go. Just going to haunt you.
Yeah, it does. And you look at it and it wastes your mental.
Yes. And sometimes things don't fit because it's not so much that you've gained weight, but that your body shape is also changing.
Yeah.
So things that, you know, where your waist was before might not be where your waist is anymore.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Your waist has shifted.
Yes. Maybe your butt has moved. It's now in another state.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, it can't be accommodated by that miniskirt.
Yeah, it is. It's the same weight. Yeah, it can be the
things
same
move
weight.
Around.
Yeah, so you gotta.
You've been working, a lot of women I know who've been doing CrossFit are now just bulky.
Yeah.
They look great, but they've got muscles in places they didn't have muscles before. And the pants and the shirts are not working.
Yeah, the waists are getting smaller, but the butts and thighs are getting bigger.
Yep.
And they're having a hard time finding
clothes. Also, boobs sag, and shirts don't accommodate that.
Yes. Yeah, the buttons. Your buttons. All of a sudden, the button won't button. Or
exactly.
Will button, disturbingly. Anyway, so along those lines, are you holding on to a lover you really don't like or don't give a damn about because they're familiar?
Really? Oh, yeah. I see this with people all the time.
Yeah.
I put in a lot of time.
Yeah. And what about your phone? Are your contacts filled? Yeah, with a dusty past? Or how many of those, how many guys do you have in your phone?
Dusty old moldy phone numbers.
Yeah, you haven't bothered texting, email, or phoning in a few months? Get them out.
I'm always afraid to get. I keep everyone's phone numbers forever. I'm always afraid I'm going to need them.
I do too.
And they don't take up space.
And you don't want to be ambushed by a phone call from them. Like, I don't know who this number is.
It's that guy who was in Defeat.
It's Kyle.
It's Kyle.
Kyle the foot guy.
Yeah. In a bad way.
Yeah.
He just likes a left foot, and just the toe.
Yeah.
So clean out your phone.
Okay, next one is clean out your psychic fridge. This can be daunting. Number one, it says wipe up spills immediately so your surface won't become stained.
I would just say just clean out your fridge for a lot of people. If you haven't done that in a while, please do that.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed.
They say try to go with the flow and not take everything so personally. You've got to leave your ego at the door with adventures like internet dating or it'll kill you. Lighten up.
Okay. People still doing that? I wonder how long internet dating's going to last. I feel like at some point it's going to peter out.
It's got to.
It has to.
Because you go through the internet dating. I mean, you get a million emails that just say hi.
Yes. Hello.
And, you know, all the guys are, like, playing the numbers, as they say. They send out these hi emails, and you're like, well, hello.
How do they suck the life out of that? It's supposed to be a way to, like, meet people, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just wondering, like, will it go on?
I don't know how it will, because guys especially, and I will say this, I will target guys on this, because they don't know how to market themselves. They don't know what pictures to throw up. They don't know what to say.
I agree with that, because I've had many a male friend, not many, but several male friends where I've seen their profile. I'm like, you're a really cool guy. What the F is this, dude?
Yeah.
Like, are you really? This isn't you.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you're getting or not getting the responses.
Or then the guys that try too hard and they send you emails like, I think we're soulmates.
No, we're not. Connection. Yes. You never met them. Could you text someone that? I think we're soulmates.
Yeah.
Couldn't be colder. Like,
it says here, or more on this, throw out old food. Chuck your blames and recriminations from past relationships. That old story is weighing you down and dulling the prospects of a new rich love life.
Okay.
Okay, so old stories that you keep rehashing, like, I don't want to go because this guy did this to me.
Yeah. Your Get baggage.
Yeah.
Let it go.
This one is wash the interior.
Excuse me?
Yes, it's talking about you.
This is a family podcast.
It's talking about your psyche, you know. You really should consider, like, maybe stretching yourself spiritually, mentally, and creatively.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe meditation or yoga. Do something different to help kind of get yourself out.
These seem like things, though, you could apply to anything, though. Not necessarily relationships, but, like, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
Okay. Number four, replace the batteries.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yes. The batteries in your smoke detectors every 6 months, so why don't you on your vibrators?
Mm-hmm. That's what they say, replace your vibrator batteries. A lot of vibrators now are, this tells you how old we are, you can recharge them.
Yeah. You can recharge them, and that's smarter.
Yeah, it is.
It's smart.
That.
It definitely
makes sense.
It's just going through batteries.
It's just funny because I was talking to someone who was younger than me and I'd made a joke about batteries in a vibrator. They were like, huh?
They're like, what do you mean?
You don't have like a USB like hookup for that? I was like,
You're like, what?
I'll just take my my walker and just head out the door.
Yeah, I've got a USB for my vibrator.
Sure.
Okay. Number five, restock inventory supplies. So it's a stock up on lovers.
I'm just thinking, like, there's really some frozen, there's a couple of them in the freezer, but there's a couple in the fridge, that part where you get, like, the cans, so you can quickly get them.
Yes. Like, yeah, don't
you in the crisper.
It's one thing if you have a real romance going on, but if you're newly out there and you've just met somebody special, well, take your time to be on your own and explore. Have no agenda. Relax. Enjoy meeting new folks.
Have no agenda. Good luck with that.
Yeah, everyone has an agenda.
Yes, all the time.
Keep your options open. So, yeah, but stock up on lovers. I like that.
Stock up.
Yeah, you should have them for different seasons.
Yeah.
Who's good at what.
And you should have some just, you know, on back order as well. Just in case they run out.
Right, a few on layaway.
Yeah, you never know.
Layaway.
You'll get to them already.
Layaway lover.
That's
going to be...
It sounds like a country song, Layaway Lover.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe it's a Hallmark TV original.
Right, out there in the rural areas.
Yeah, where you can only get things. Well, so you have to order things, but then you can also order those things maybe on layaway.
Yeah, you pay a little bit at a time.
At a time. And maybe every time she goes to pay a little bit more, she sees the guy.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she doesn't have enough money, and then he gives her the gift.
Yeah, anyway.
Auga, Layaway Lover. I like it.
Yeah, like they get to know each other a little
bit. Yeah, who could be in that? Valerie Bertinelli?
Yeah.
Yes. And then a man who's like 22.
Yeah, some guy with nice abs.
Nice abs.
They got the 4 R. Ours. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag #BlockLifeNYC.
Next one is rethink your underwear drawer.
Okay.
Yeah.
How?
Think of your panty drawer as a bouquet of flowers.
No, I don't. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Audit the unmatched to banish the beloved tattered thongs and lifeless bras. What? And keep only the hot stuff that make you feel like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah, see, what happens then, too, is if you get too crazy with that, then you only have really, really sexy underwear and bras. That's not for every day.
No, it's not every
day. People seem to understand that, like, that stuff that's pretty in Victoria's Secret, you can't put a shirt over that.
Yeah, and, like, a demi-bra, a lace demi-bra, you can't use that all the time.
You can't really use that.
Yeah.
So you got to have some stuff in there that looks a little grandma-esque.
Yeah.
But that's just the way that it is.
Just functional.
Yeah.
And it says, dump your ex's boxers.
Oh, yeah. You should have done that.
A long time ago.
What the hell?
Yeah. So those are some things, you know, to, you know, sprinkling your toxic mating habits.
I like it.
You should do.
So I'm going back to my history. This is the history of spring break.
Oh, yes. I have a little bit about that, too.
We talked about spring break before. I never really did spring break, mm-hmm. either because I was working or stayed on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you did it one time and you went to like Boca Raton mm-hmm. or something.
Ended up, yeah. Well, let's talk about spring break and I'll tell you
okay.
why that was so silly.
Spring break started in 1936 mm-hmm. in Fort Lauderdale when the swimming coach of Colgate University, one Sam Ingram, decided mm-hmm. to bring his team to train at the casino pool in Florida because it had nothing to do with spring break. It was the first Olympic sized swimming pool in Florida.
Right. It was the biggest pool.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, let me take my team
let's
down
go and
there.
Swim there.
It happens to be spring.
So, 2 years later, smelling a marketing opportunity, the city then hosted the first college coaches swim forum at mm-hmm. the casino pool. And about 300 swimmers came to the event and they partied afterwards.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, this is a party that's taking place in, you know, the late 30s. So it's probably, you know, very well attired people trying to be on decent behavior. I'm sure they were drinking, but you know what I mean?
You've got wool bathing suits, by the way.
Yes,
you don't have any.
They come up to like your nipples if you're a guy, probably.
Yeah,
Tarzan style.
There's no lycra.
Yeah, there's no lycra. You're just doing the best that you can. So the tradition of college swimmers continued well into the 60s when, as with everything in the 60s, it became swinging.
Yeah.
Like, you probably could have had, like, a library, you know, read aloud in the 60s swinging.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And then Time magazine did an article in 1959 titled Beer and the Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote from this, from one of the spring breakers, was, "It's not that we drink so much, it's that we drink all the time." 2 years later, Where the Boys Are came out, starring a very tan George Hamilton, who remained tanned
forever.
And I've
that
never
was his
seen
deal with the devil. He was like,
yes,
"Let
make
me a star," and the devil was like, "You'll have to be. You'll be a star, but you'll be tan
was
for the
like,
rest of your
you'll
life.
You'll have to fight Ricardo Montalban,
right?
If you want a piece of this deal." So Where the Boys Are, which I'm pretty sure I saw as a girl, was just confused because I didn't know what time period it was, and I didn't know what was going on with George Hamilton.
No.
The Fort Lauderdale set film spread the tale of collegiate men and women, you know, frolicking, having a good time in Florida, and then spring break was born.
Mm-hmm.
So from that movie. Okay, during the 70s, of course, because it's the 70s, things became a little raunchy.
Yes.
It says there was gratuitous PDA. Balcony diving, which I've never heard of, which is...
You never heard of that? Oh, yeah, that was really dangerous.
Have you ever seen it?
I heard all about it, and they showed, like, pictures of the balconies at the hotels where people would jump off and into the pool.
But people fall.
And they would miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is balcony diving. So you can go from balcony to balcony, or also you can try to dive into
okay.
the pool. So people became kind of disgusted by this, and by... but it grew. By 1985, 370,000 students were going to Fort Lauderdale, a.k.a. Fort Lickerdale,
mm-hmm.
every year, prompting yet another film, Spring Break, starring Tom Cruise and Shelley Long, which I think is interesting because Tom Cruise still running around acting like he's in Spring Break.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Shelley Long?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were contemporaries. You see what Hollywood does
yeah.
to men and women? I had no idea that they were contemporaries.
You're right.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Because she's a woman over 40. Tom Cruise, short ass, is still out there doing stuff. People are working on their knees to be in the same frame as this guy, that's standing it. In a hole.
Yeah.
And he's on a box.
Yeah, he's on a box. There's a ditch. That's dope. Yes.
And then there's someone with tiny hands holding back his crow's feet. So you can't see him. That's what they use the CG for, to wipe that out.
Yeah.
Like, and he's lit like a flame.
Yeah.
He is lit like a flame.
He is lit every...
There's grease, not even Vaseline, just grease on the camera.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, man.
In any case.
Hey, he looks amazing.
So he's younger.
Tiny hands holding his face back.
Yes.
Vaseline. On the...
And if you get near him, he just smears Vaseline on your eyes.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. Forces you to get in a hole.
Yeah.
And then lights himself like crazy. It says by the end of the 80s, the town... enacted strict drinking laws. And then the mayor of the town went on Good Morning America, which I think is, I kind of remember this, and told people, don't come.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, just don't come here. And so as a result, then it got pushed to other places.
Right.
But then MTV in 1986, I remember this, launched its Spring Break.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can draw a direct line from there, from the Spring Break of MTV to Daytona Beach in Florida, to, you know, binge drinking and, you know, colleges panicking, to Girls Gone Wild.
Right. But they went from Fort Lauderdale to Daytona, and Daytona has very wide beaches where you can drive your vehicles up onto the beach.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's another draw.
Wow. You can drive on the beach?
Drive your car onto the beach, yeah.
Have you ever driven on the beach? I don't like it.
I don't.
It freaks me out.
Yeah, you're going to get stuck.
Yes. It just doesn't seem right. I'm like, is there people around? I don't know. It's on a road.
You feel like a monster.
Yeah.
It's like stepping on, like, all the
crushing things. Yeah,
you don't belong there.
I don't like it.
I went to, we were going to Fort Lauderdale or Daytona in college, but... all the hotels are, you know, gone. So we stayed.
You hadn't planned ahead.
No. So my friend, what's her name? We'll call her Kathleen.
Okay.
She her grandmother lived in Boca Raton.
It was like, come, was stay like, with me.
Stay with me in Boca Raton.
It's like spring break.
So we just stayed at her grandmother's house in Boca Raton.
It was the curfew, 8:30.
And, you know, we couldn't, like, drink there. And we had to go and do our partying elsewhere and then come back by a certain time as not to disturb her. And then there was no, like, kid food in the house. It was, like, prunes.
Some dry-ass crackers made of meal.
Yeah, maybe some, you know, what is it, muesli?
With an X at the end.
Yeah, and we're like, oh.
Yogurt, plain yogurt. But you could add a little sweet and low, too.
Yeah, and so we would drive out to where everybody was.
And hang out.
And have a beer in our hand. Like, hey, guys, what's up?
Yeah,
we're here.
You're like, oh, my God, it's them. Aren't they staying in Boca?
Yeah.
Well, when I was younger and I saw things like MTV Spring Break, and I wrote a note about this, that's what kind of convinced me that I didn't want to go to a regular college. Because I was like, look at these people. I don't want any part of that. If this is what college is about, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a little bit about Spring Break. Spring Break now happens all over the place. So young people go to Florida, they go to Texas, some people go to Mexico, and then it's also a thing now, which is kind of interesting. I'm not going to pass judgment of, like, doing volunteer stuff during your spring break.
That's all right.
Which I think is great, but, like, I just remember at spring break needing a break.
Yeah.
So I get that you maybe want to travel somewhere and do something, but if you're really intensely into your college semester, doesn't take a break. You know what I mean? Relax for a little bit.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine. Oh, there was another time where we took a bus down. That was terrible. Never take a bus to Florida.
No!
And then,
how long is that? There's like 16 hours or something?
It was a ridiculous thing.
We half the break was gone by the time you got there.
We met soldiers on the bus.
Oh, God.
We were talking to them.
Where were they coming from?
God knows.
Okay.
And then what else happened? Oh, I happened to be in a college production of Rashomon. I'll tell you.
Were you guys doing it on the road?
No. This is back at the school.
I'm imagining you're bringing it to, like, far-flung towns in the South.
No, this was the production of the year at the school. They have one big, like, the major production in the spring
and naturally,
semester.
Rashomon.
And there's only, like, 8 or 9 characters in the play. So it was a...
Those of you who haven't seen it or who don't know the play, could you fill us in a little bit on...
It's a classic play. And it is the story of a samurai and his wife who meet a bandit in the woods. Mm-hmm. And the samurai dies.
Okay.
And everybody has a different point of view, a story interpretation of how he died.
Okay.
And then there's a priest who saw everything happen and a wig maker who saw everything happen. And they want to know the samurai's point of view. So they need a medium.
Okay.
To get the samurai's soul and have and speak. And he gets to say his point of view through the medium. I was cast as the medium.
Okay. Did you employ any of those skills on the bus ride?
No.
Okay.
But the thing was, I was a Japanese woman.
Okay.
And I went down for spring break, and when I came back, I was tan. And I got yelled at by the director. For being tan. And she said, "You were hired for this role." I mean, there's no money.
As pay. you were granted this role.
Right. You won this role based on, you know, your audition. But when you took the role, that you have to look the same way all the way through, and you've altered your appearance.
So couldn't they just do makeup on you? No. Did they allow
they
you to do the work?
Yes, they did.
You weren't fired from the job you were never hired from.
No, but you could see, like, in some pictures that my face is done white and that my arms are, like, tan coming through.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You ruined Rashomon.
I did ruin it.
By going to spring break. I can't believe you took a bus down there. And you and a girlfriend of yours went down there together on the bus?
Yeah.
Oh, man. How?
Ridiculous.
I mean, spring break's only a week, so you guys spent, like, 4 days on a bus?
Something like that. Sure.
That sounds like how my spring break would have gone. This is why I never went anywhere. I was like, screw it. I'm not doing it.
To the director, but I was on a bus.
Yeah. I was inside.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
All right. What I got here? Let's see. Oh, springtime is another time for allergies.
Oh. Sometimes I have allergies. Sometimes I don't. I'm not 100% sure what causes them.
No, it's very strange. The allergies come and go. There was one summer I was allergic to peaches.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
That's weird.
So allergies occur when the immune system reacts to a typically harmless substance.
Like a peach.
Yeah.
For example.
But there are substances like pollen and dust in particular, or a particular food, that are not dangerous to the body, but the immune system goes into high gear and produces antibodies to destroy the substance.
Okay.
Chemicals such as histamines are released and cause the allergy symptoms you're familiar with, such as sneezing, runny nose, itching.
Now I know what an antihistamine is, because I didn't know what histamine was.
Yeah.
I knew that I didn't want it.
You don't want a histamine.
I don't want histamines.
Yeah. So, while many people understand why allergies occur, here's a few that may surprise you.
Okay.
Allergies are often inherited, and doctors don't understand why.
So it's just, like, genetically passed down?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I don't have any.
Yeah, children who have a parent with an allergy have about a 1 in 3 chance of developing the same type.
Mm-hmm.
And another fact, it's possible to be allergic to the sun, water, and cold.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do?
Mm.
I mean,
yeah.
How can you be allergic to the cold?
Yeah, it's, you can get hives and swollen skin.
From the cold?
From the cold.
Wow.
From the sun and from water.
Wow. Good luck.
I know. That's
how evolution, what happened? This does not sound like a good thing to pass on.
Yeah, it affects about 2% of the population.
Wow, I had
that's
idea.
A lot. It may be a very mild thing. You may be like, it's cold out and, you're feeling a little funny.
But I guess for something like cold, you could always warm yourself. You know, you could find ways to warm yourself up or not. It would be directly exposing yourself to the cold. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Another fact, children who are obese are more likely to have an allergy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of health problems that come with obesity, but an increase in allergies is also one of them. They have a 26% higher rate of allergies overall.
Wow.
And overall and 59% of food allergies.
I always associate allergies with like those little weakling kids.
Yeah.
In class, I would never think that they're the robust kids or the obese kids, as they seem. Yeah. I mean, they seem pretty tough, right?
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. Maybe the body's like, oh, more food. Get out of here.
Get out. Yeah. No, thank you.
See, that's my scientific explanation. Yes.
That's how science works, though.
Dr. Katie Kazmir says.
That's your hypothesis.
Listen to me. The food's like, get out of here. The
food's like, go. I have to say this, and people who listen to the podcast, people who know me know, I cannot deal with allergies. Mm-mm. I don't have friends who have a lot of allergies. I don't know if you've noticed that. Like, all of my friends are robust. You come to a party at my house, you have some tough customers up in that piece.
Yeah, you know what?
Tough customers.
I don't have friends with allergies either, really.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe they're all hanging out together somewhere, very hygienic.
Like, with their special pillows.
Yes, with their special pillows.
You're right, because, you know what? I won't say anything because I know they can't help it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know they can't help
it
either.
But you know what? I'll probably look at them funny. And they don't want to be with me.
I just remember as a kid growing up, because I grew up in a very rural area. And that often translates to being very hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was growing up, you were, you know, if you were hanging out with us, you were hardy. Because mm-hmm. we were outside. We were doing stuff. If you weren't, then you weren't hanging out with us, and we wouldn't have gotten to know you in the first place. You know, if you were the mm-hmm. kind of kid that couldn't be outside because they had an allergy or something, we're like, we don't see you. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
That's interesting.
Allergies can develop suddenly in adulthood.
Yeah, I've had some friends mm-hmm. develop allergies for a short period of time, and they've gone away. Mm-hmm. Bizarre.
Cases of peanut allergies have risen significantly since 2002.
I bet George Washington Carver is like, come on. Come on!
They have a theory about it, though, because it's like, I think it was...
Is it people, environmental?
People were talking about the parents, like, over, like, coddling their children and being...
Does that
like,
bring on a peanut allergy?
No, but just the idea, like, if a child
not being
has
exposed.
A sniffle, it's like, oh, they have an allergy to peanuts, don't bring a peanut to school.
Yeah.
One theory is possible roasting techniques.
Okay.
Yeah. Which are used in the United States, they may be causing an allergic reaction.
Do you think that you would think the peanut people would be on top of that and eliminate that? Because when we were younger, used to always get peanuts everywhere you went. Now it's like,
no.
Yeah. You cannot have them on a plane. Right. You cannot have them in schools.
Right, yeah. You can't even bring a peanut butter sandwich to school.
Apparently,
it
would
set somebody off.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know how those children survive. I mean, I guess you have to be in a culture like the United States, because in most places I've been to, they'd be like, what? No.
They're gone.
No, we're not. Get out. Yeah. Like,
firstborn children tend to have more allergies.
Huh. Yeah. They haven't worked themselves out yet.
It is not understood, but the theory is conditions in the womb may be different for the firstborn.
Hmm.
Breaking it in.
Yes. Maybe. Making sure it's all right for the next couple people coming through.
It's like, whoa, 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 what's up with this drywall?
What's going on here? Yeah. Who did this? It's a nightmare in here.
It's the fifth leading cause of chronic illness in the U.S.
It's allergies?
Yeah. It's chronic illness. Yeah, it's like most common case of missed work in school.
Wow.
It has an economic cost of over $14 billion.
Yeah, anyway. It has an economic cost of $14 billion. But how much money have we all spent on, like, antihistamines?
Yeah.
Probably $14
billion. Yeah.
probably evens itself out.
There may be an allergy and depression connection. If you're feeling a little down, for some instances, allergies could be to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because when you think of what causes depression, allergies don't usually come to mind, but there could be a connection between seasonal allergies and depression.
I don't know how you would tease those apart, though. It would be very, very difficult to know. What always amazes me is people who, and I'm not saying there are a lot of people like this, but they do exist, who they're like phantom allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So they somehow create, you know, like they're allergic to everything all the time. And then they bring on real symptoms.
Yeah.
Because I find that fascinating. And I don't want to be anywhere near
those people. Yeah, it's the thing. Like maybe they experienced a symptom that had nothing to do with whatever they were eating at the time, but they linked it.
And now it's there?
It's there. And so they're strange. Like, God, it happened when I had the peanut.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really something else.
I worked with a guy one time who had a couple of children. The first child was allergic to everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you guys sure about this? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. They started treating her differently. And I just remember that the other two kids being like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Allergic to everything. They couldn't go anywhere. She had this special that. I'm like, how is she going to survive?
Mm-hmm.
How is she going to survive? Because when you get out into the real world, no one can be that careful.
No.
With you.
Right.
Like, how are you going to work in an office place?
Yeah, you can't expect your boss to be, like, you know, making this.
I mean, peanuts is one thing, but you know what I mean? This woman had a million. I was like, you need a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to stay in it. I don't know what to say.
That's it. But hey, having allergies may reduce your risk of developing brain tumors.
Okay. You'll be alone, but sure.
Yeah.
Your brain will be functioning.
Yeah, their risk, people with allergies, it's decreased by 33%.
So maybe there's a positive benefit from having allergies.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I know, I've been lactose intolerant for a while, and that annoys the shit out of me. And that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't find that, you know, cute or comforting. It's annoying. It's a weakness.
It's a weakness.
Yeah, it is, because you can't always, I always try to make sure that there's not dairy and stuff, but you never know.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, I had a piece of toast this morning. I said, don't butter it. They buttered it. I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I'll deal with it.
Well, the thing is, when you're lactose intolerant, like you are to an extent, like, you can have a little bit.
Yeah. It depends. Well, butter, though, is a silent killer. That's why I brought that one up.
Okay.
That's what people who are lactose intolerant refer to it as.
Yeah, so.
The silent attack.
Yeah.
Of butter.
Yeah. And it's in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to stop eating cheese cubes.
Yeah, yes. Or if you're me, just deal with it.
Yeah.
I eat the fucking cheese anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll eat it at the end of the night.
I'm at home.
I'm at home. That's right. All right, so I have here something I found. This is, because we've talked about how different cultures celebrate spring, and this is from Iran, and it's called Nowruz. It is an Iranian festival of spring, which starts at the exact moment of the vernal equinox.
Ooh.
So it's, you know, whenever that happens, it gets kicked off. I imagine it's like, da-da-da-da,
so
you know.
Really, people are standing around.
They know exactly when it's going to happen, and it kicks off. It is considered the start of the new year. The name comes from Avestan, which is an East Iranian language. It means new day / daylight, and it's celebrated in March 20/21 at the time that the sun enters Aries. That's when spring begins.
Boom.
It's the new year. It's been celebrated for 3,000 years, and is rooted in the Zoroastrian religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's celebrated. I remember hearing about them when I did my little religion class. In Iran, Iraq, India, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. So this is probably why I'd never heard of this before. These are cultures that I really don't know much about and don't have a lot of contact with. But it is also a Baha'i festival. So I know a little bit about Baha'i. I had a friend who was Baha'i. And it is, they celebrate it, but it's the end of a 19-day fast. So that must be one hell of a celebration. I'm sorry, 19 days of fasting is intense.
God. Yeah.
So in the Baha'i communities in the U.S., they have a potluck dinner, of course, because they haven't eaten. Their prayers and then readings a lot. And it depends. And so in the rest of the world, they do it, you know, on March 21st or March 20th. Here in the U.S., Baha'i people doing it March 21st, no matter what.
Okay.
So that's the thing for them. It's the first day of the calendar year, regardless of whatever else is going on. It's the first day. People on this day celebrate it by paying house visits. So you go 30 minutes to each house of your friends, family, you know, extended family. And if you go to someone's house, say, like, we're both going to a friend's house and we meet there, that counts for us.
Oh, okay.
Like, now I've seen you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like.
But what if you take off from your house, but somebody's trying to come to your house?
They have to wait. You gotta work it out.
Okay.
So some people just have a big gathering because it can get tricky.
Okay.
If you're trying to, like, you know, hit every single house, you're going, people have just left or they're going to be coming back soon, that kind of thing. They also gather, family members gather around a table, and they have something called a hapsin, which is like a table setting where they have different fruits, vegetables, and things that, you know, are reminders of, like, springtime and renewal. They also have a special kind of sprout, and then they throw that out. So it's like all these really cool, like, spring rituals. I had no idea about this. They also believe, or not, some people believe, because they celebrate in a lot of different cultures, that what you do on Nowruz, did I say it correct? On Nowruz, it will affect the rest of the year.
So
if you're nice to people on this holiday, then, and people are nice to you, that's how the year will go. If you're a dick, that's how your year's going to go. They also have a Haji Piruz, and it's a character that wears black makeup and a red costume and symbolizes rebirth of the Sumerian god of sacrifice, Dumuzi, who is killed at the end of each year and then reborn in the next year.
Okay.
This character sings, dances, goes through the streets with tambourines and trumpets, spreading good cheer for the new year. So he's a character that goes along with it. On the 13th day, so this goes on for some time. On the 13th day, which is around April Fool's Day, they have a big picnic, an outside festival with children singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. So this is like a really nice, fun holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to be any kind of like, you know, there's no beating or any kind of a ritual that is aggressive in any way. It's just like you're getting together.
Punishment.
Yeah, it's not about punishment. Just like about celebrating the new year and having a good time. So the Nowruz lasts 12 days. The 13th day represents a time of chaos. And when families put order aside to avoid the bad luck, and they go, that's they put order aside and then they frolic.
Oh.
That's how they deal with it. That's the chaos aspect of it, is that we go to the park and have a good time.
Yeah.
So it seems like a pretty cool festival.
Oh, I like it.
At the end of the celebration on this day, they have the table set out. They put out different things to symbolize good luck or to get rid of illness. And then they, what do they do? It also says it's customary for young single women to tie leaves. And then that symbolizes their wish to be married for the next year. So we've seen this in some other cultures as well for the New Year kind of celebration. So yeah, this is from Iran. It's called Nowruz, and I just thought it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't know anything about this culture, but I kind of want to look into this Haji Piruz character who dresses up and like plays a tambourine in the streets and wishes people well. That sounds kind of cool.
I like that a lot.
And there's got to be some interesting stories about this Sumerian god Dumuzi. He gets
like
killed
that.
And then is reborn every year. It's got to be some interesting stuff.
I mean, besides the fact of getting killed, I hope it's not painful, but
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I kind of want to look into it. They say it also goes along with the Zodiac, because there are a lot of things in here. Because it's an ancient culture. So I'm sure we've stolen little bits here and there.
And everything's gotten muddled.
But yeah, this sounds like a really fun, you know, way to celebrate the new year if you're into the Persian calendar.
Well, that's great. I like it a lot.
All right.
We have time for tales.
Yeah, we have time. We have 45 minutes, so yeah, we have time for tales. So, Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, urban legends, spooky tales,
ghost stories,
and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So,
gather around, listeners.
So, is this a spring theme?
Yes.
I couldn't find anything for spring.
Well, this happened in the spring.
Okay.
So, therefore, it is now the spring.
Okay.
The tales.
Therefore.
Now, this is a story. It's a first-person account, and the author is a middle-aged adult.
Okay,
so
thank you.
So, you've got a middle-aged person writing the story. And the paranormal category is called non-human entities.
Okay.
Okay. When I was just 15 years old, I met my future husband. It was back in the hippie era. My boyfriend, future husband, had a reputation of the Fonz and dressed like Billy Joel.
Oh.
This is what got me for the story. You got me at Billy Joel.
Wow. The Fonz and Billy Joel?
Yeah, the reputation of the Fonz, but dressed like Billy Joel.
So whenever I think of Billy Joel from that era, he's on the album where he's wearing a white outfit and the background is white. He's got a fro somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks like he's coked up out of his mind.
Because he was.
Like his lips look dry.
Yeah.
It's like Ashy Larry. Okay.
He was a supervisor for a group of men, including my brother.
Okay.
At a state park. So my parents were comfortable with letting their daughter go for a ride in this nice young man's El Camino.
Really? Parents?
Yeah. However, on the promise that I would be back by 11 p.m.
Okay. A lot can get done before 11.
I know.
It's the 70s, though. So.
Yes. I would like to add that cell phones and pagers were unheard of back then.
Well,
at least by us, anyway.
Wah, wah.
Well, by everybody.
Yes.
Because they weren't invented.
No, they weren't around.
Anyway.
And I'm not sorry they weren't.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul came. You know, she did not introduce him as Paul.
Who the hell's Paul? The guy.
This is the guy.
Okay.
She didn't introduce.
She's doing it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, Paul came and picked me up to take me out riding one Friday night.
Riding. See, this is so 70s. This is something that is not done anymore.
Oh, get this. This is even more 70s. We went down to the levee near the Missouri River.
Oh, my goodness.
We drove.
Was the levee dry?
We drove on the dirt roads alongside the levee. We could have sang, I took my Chevy to the levee, and it would have been true and an accurate statement.
But it was a Camino.
I know.
Okay. Sorry. Is that a Chevrolet? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know about cars. The Camino is the one that's like a truck car?
Yeah, I think
so.
It's the one that's like scooped out.
Yes.
You feel like something should have happened there.
Yeah.
I don't like the pitch.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Back to my experience, as I said.
It's like she knew we interrupted her story. As I was saying.
We went down to the levee to talk and maybe sneak a smooch or two.
Mm-hmm. Sneak.
Yeah.
I wonder how many other people were down there. Like, hey, dude, move over.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I remember it was a full moon because even though it should have been pitch black outside, it was fairly bright out due to the reflection of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We had been sitting down there for quite some time when I noticed two white figures walking down the dirt road.
Great.
We had come on earlier that evening.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by their stature and the way they carried themselves, I could only assume that they were men, yet they seemed to be wearing white robes or sheets hanging over them, which was very odd.
It just sounds like the Klan. Ain't nothing odd about that. Where are they?
Missouri.
Missouri? Right. It's fine.
I immediately brought it to Paul's attention, and we sat there very quietly and watched these two men walk slowly towards us.
Mm-hmm.
They followed the curve of the dirt road while getting closer by each passing minute.
Well, yeah, that's how that works.
That's how people walk towards
you. That's how approaching goes.
As they got closer.
What if they got smaller as they got closer? That would be my horror story. By the time they got to me, I couldn't fucking see them. Just went on. Got back at the Camino. Rolled out.
As they got closer, the more transparent they appeared to become.
Okay.
We just sat in the truck and were in total awe trying to figure out who they were, what these two men's intentions were.
Mm-hmm.
They continued walking towards us, taking all the turns our truck had taken earlier to where we were now sitting.
These have got to be white people because black people, even if there had been one black person in that car, as soon as they saw us, they'd be like, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Screw this levee.
And our sneaking smooches.
Yeah. No.
We'll go somewhere else to sneak a smooch.
Yeah, somewhere inside.
They continued to walk until they came to a brief standstill about 20 feet in front of the truck, then continued right up and over the truck.
Okay.
As soon as the...
What?
As soon as the assembly were over the truck, Paul started the truck and we took off and kept driving until we got to my house.
That's crazy.
Apparently, we lost track of time, and my mother met me at the front door and was very upset.
With a shotgun?
Right. She was very upset asking me where I had been. It was nearly 1:30 a.m.
I hope you didn't tell her the story.
And I was in big trouble. She said, I had sent two angels out to find you and bring you home safely. And I told her, we saw your angels.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. If your mom says something like that to you and she doesn't necessarily believe it,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, oh, thanks, we saw them, then what?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do then?
Yeah.
How come they didn't do anything?
I know. From then on, we made
two
sure.
Two dead Klan members hardly counts as angels, lady. I don't know what kind of religion you're into.
From then on, we made sure to keep close watch on the time. Never went back to the levee, and I never broke curfew after that. I know without a shadow of a doubt that those two figures were angels and my mom sent to bring us home.
And they didn't, though.
No, they didn't.
They just walked around.
Yeah.
They just milled around. They didn't give, like, a shout out for the time.
No.
They weren't like, Missy, you're late.
Your mom needs you home.
Your mom needs to get home. They just, you know, creeped them out.
Yeah.
And then fucked off, apparently. All right. Tales from Dirt Campfire.
Yeah. Spring edition.
Spring edition.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.